Romans 12. The entirety of the last few verses of Romans are about, Romans 12 are about, and it just emphasizes it in 60 different, I mean several different ways, that you not repay evil for evil, or you not try to get even with anybody. And it's such a innate response that, you know, it seems to be nigh unto impossible. And you can always fake it. You can always, but the internal response is what's so critical here. And so again, we have this. We sort of previewed this on Friday, but we studied yesterday, Friday, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. In verse 18, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, this doesn't sound like this sounds like you should always couch your words and so that you don't have conflict. In fact, I've heard this scripture used to justify that you, as much as, you know, it's quoted in sermons, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So therefore, If you've said something that offends somebody, that must mean that you're wrong. But that's not what it's saying. Be possible is dynatos, which means it means that you having the power to do something. And what it's saying is if others allow it. I mean, it's I don't know how to say this. Others. Over anybody else's conduct, we have no control. But the initiative in disturbing the peace is... I don't even know... this is hard to talk about. Our job as believers is always to repent if we don't feel at peace. So this is... this has most to do with this mystery of being on the mercy seat and staying on the mercy seat. And so let me get it read again. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. And the reading here is if others allow it. But you always are at peace. What others do is their business.
Does the peace when there is no peace apply in here? Is that part of the implication?
We'll get to that in a minute. Live peaceably is ireno. It's to cultivate or keep peace or harmony. Let's look at this. Let's go to Jeremiah 14. I guess we have to start in verse 1 because this is this time when when Jeremiah is prophesying that all hell is going to break loose and everything else, and to them it was, they were prosperous and living well, and they thought everything was great. There's this famous scripture then in verse of chapter 13, verse 23. And if thou say in thine heart, or 22, if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come those things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered and thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots, that he may also do good that are accustomed to do evil? And it's speaking to the human race, that we, when it, you know, we always have these discussions, and we used to have them anyway. Well, what about the good people? And when it benefits you to do good, you will do good. But the basic program isn't good. The human nature isn't good because it's always self for self. And so the question here is, can the Ethiopian change his, or can Ronnie change his skill? We don't have to go to Ethiopia. Can Ronnie change his skin color, or can the leopard change its spots? Of course not. So then he goes on and on. So in verse 14, chapter 14, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning the dearth. And he's prophesying, say, Judah mourneth, and the gates thereof languish. They are black unto the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem has gone up. And their nobles have sent their little ones to the waters. They came to the pits and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is chapped, for there was no rain in the earth. The plowmen were ashamed, they covered their heads. Yea, the hind also calved in the field and forsook it, because there was no grass. And the wild asses did stand in the high places. They snuffed up the wind like dragons. Their eyes did fail, because there was no grass. O Lord, there are iniquities testify against us. Do it thou for thy name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against thee. O the hope of Israel, the Savior thereof in time of trouble, why shouldest thou be as a stranger in the land, and as a wayfaring man that turneth aside to tarry for a night? Why shouldest thou be as a man astonished, as a mighty man that cannot save? Yet thou, O Lord, art in the midst of us, and we are called by thy name. Leave us not. And thus saith the Lord unto this people, thus have they loved to wander. They have not refrained their feet. Therefore the Lord doth not accept them. He will now remember their iniquity and visit their sins. Then the people said unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Then the Lord said unto me, pray not for this people for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision and a divination and a thing of naught and the deceit of their heart. And therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the prophets that prophesy in my name, I sent them not, yet they say sword and famine shall not be in this place. By sword and famine these prophets shall be consumed. And as Gary said, in many other places they prophesy peace, peace, and there is no peace. And the reason for this is the only peace is in him. Remember, that's what we studied last week. And so as much as lieth within us, we are to be at peace with all men. But it's their choice, not ours. Our job is to be at peace. In other words, never have any aught against anyone. And then the next few verses are going to emphasize this. Well, let's look at a couple others. Let's go to Matthew 10. No, we already did that. Hebrews 12, we already did that one. That's enough for in there. Verse 19, back to Romans 12. And again, it's more emphasis on the same point. I'm going to go ahead and read the next three verses. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Dearly beloved is agapetos. It means those united by agape. Speaking only to the church. Avenge not is me ekaido. Do not vindicate one's rights. You have no rights. You have no entitlement. The moment you do, you have fallen from grace. We are bond servants. Even with attorneys.
I was waiting for that. Thank you.
And it says, avenge not yourselves. And again, yourself is a reflexive pronoun. And it gives us this idea that you avenge not yourself even in your mind. And we probably should say, especially in your mind. Because that's where the avenging yourself comes. It can't come unless it first comes in your mind. This is where God finds out what your religion really is. And this should trouble some of you, Gary. Kayala.
Oh, wait for that.
You've got to repent of it instead of thinking about how you're going to get back at him or what you're going to do about it. Everybody see this clearly? And giving place unto wrath, it means give in so far as anger goes. And in other words, you're not even... It's a throwaway. For it is written, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Now, let's go look and see the laws talking about this. Let's go to Leviticus 19. I'm speeding along because I want to get through Romans 12 so we can get through Romans 13. Leviticus 19. Let's start in verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Now, what does it mean to stand against the blood? That's an interesting one.
Take any position.
It means show him his error. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Okay, in verse 18. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now here's the major difference. All of the things, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, the Jews had it as a part of their law. The problem was, is they considered their neighbor only other Jews. Now, and there was a culture of this. There was a huge culture. So all of a sudden, Jesus redefines neighbor in the Good Samaritan parable as saying your neighbor is anyone in need, whether even if he is among the most hated of that class. And so what Jesus did, he said, you know, thou shalt not lust against a woman, or thou shalt not commit adultery, but he took it and expanded it to infinity when he said, you shall not even think about it. And here, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, thou shalt not avenge, speaking only to that community. And then he extends it all the way out. The neighbor is anybody in need. Now, this is where fundamentally 90% of the Christian church is still at. They define who they meet need for. Because we've gone back to, and what modern Christianity is. Oh, I thought you were going to make a phone call.
Oh, yeah, right.
Exactly.
What?
He's not going to make a phone call.
Well, he could.
Right in front of you? Anyway, go ahead.
You interrupted yourself.
I interrupted myself.
Which is a good thing.
Synagogue Judaism and Christianity, the modern Christianity, are the same thing. They're waiting for something to happen. They've created a Christian ghetto. There's a Christian religion, Christian bookstores, Christian this, Christian that. And so, both of them are waiting for Messiah to come. But we can't. That isn't our model. That isn't the mystery of God. The mystery of God is, it's number one, it's not our business who's redeemed or not. It's not our business who's saved or not. We don't just meet the need of somebody. We meet the need whenever we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Therefore, we are to meet the need of anybody we see, anybody that comes into our path. So it's... All right, let's go to Deuteronomy 32.
I think of Abraham, our model of faith, he went without knowing. That's basically how he goes.
Deuteronomy 32. Well, let's just go to 30. We'll just read one verse. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things shall come upon them and the things that shall come upon them are making haste, or make haste.
Where are you?
What did I say?
32.
No, I said Deuteronomy 32, verse 35.
Thank you.
I think that's what I said.
You missed the 35.
You didn't say the
35. Well, anyway, the point of even here, I'm not too sure. I've not had to face this one, but I can't understand how there can be a Christian war. If a Christian can't have enemies, I mean, I can't understand how we can go to war in the name of God. That didn't make me a peacenik, but I just don't understand. I don't understand where they get the justification.
I think if you're a secular Christian, which is an oxymoron,
yeah.
I think there are.
Because it's always here. But again, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Jews were taking it among their own people. in the New Testament, it's extended to the everyone. So, I will repay. Let's go back to Romans 12. Verse 20. We're speeding. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirsts, provide him drink. Therefore is a word which it's just means consequently, because of all these things that he's just said. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And in the word in Greek, it's even going so far as to put food in his mouth if he's unable to eat. Not just provide the opportunity for it. If he thirsts, provide him drink. Now, thirst is throughout the scriptures is a metaphor for those who painfully feel and long for something else, something which will satisfy their soul. I mean, all of us had to thirst or we wouldn't be believers. I want to get to this one thing. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, you see, that just destroyed everything he just said about the reason we do things. Right?
What did you just say? That just destroyed what?
In other words, you're getting back at him.
You're getting back at him because you're going to heap coals of fire on his head by providing him food.
Okay. Kill him with kindness. Be nice to your enemies. Always make some point. Wonder what you're up to.
But this is really an important thing. This is an idiom in all those countries at that time. It's a proverbial expression meaning by the favors you confer on an enemy, the memory in him of whatever wrong he has done you will pain him as if the coals were heaped upon his head and thereby cause him to more readily repent. But we don't do it for that reason. We have no investment in the outcome. Otherwise, I'm meeting need. No, you're not. You're just being. You understand that this is a great metaphor, heaping coals upon his head. In the Arab languages, it's the burning coals of their heart or the fire of the liver. But it's you heap fiery coals upon his head. But if you're doing it for that reason, then you're not doing it. You're providing food and drink. You're forgiving. It's all between you and God. It's never about the thing. You're not doing it for anybody else. You're doing it as unto the Lord. That's why forgiveness is so critical in the same issue. You forgive everyone their trespasses from the heart, protecting the right to have that wrong to have happened to you. But if you ever do it in order that you can be reconciled, then you're lost. Everything is gone. You can't have any investment in anything we do in time and space. Does everybody understand that? It sounds subtle, but there's a bright, shining light if you can see it. Doesn't matter what it is. We have no investment in it.
And that's not living in cause and effect, which is nature. We expect things to happen when we do something.
Well, it proves that you're doing it for self-seeking.
Right.
All right. We're going to get through this, even if we have to. I have 2 minutes. Then it summarizes all of this. Be not overcome of evil. Overcome means to be carried off with. Don't let yourself be carried off with that response or the thing that's endemic in you as a human to get even, but overcome, be carried off with that which is good. Now, you remember I told you the only two things that Jesus hates? He said, the only two things he said he hated in the Bible that I'm aware of are the doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the doctrine of Balaam. There's great debate. There's a jillion different books written about who are the Nicolaitans and what is the doctrine of Balaam that he hates. You've heard me say it all the time, but here, overcome is the Greek word niko, and this is a verb form of it, which means to be successful. And so the idea of he hates the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, those that preach success in God's name, and he hates the doctrine of Balaam, intertwining religion and politics, a religion in the world. So it's just hilarious to me that the two things that Jesus said he hated are the main, is really all we see in of media religion. That's kind of interesting. All right. Anybody have any questions about Romans 12? Everybody understand it perfectly? Because now we're going to get, Romans 13 is one that will bother us. Bothers me. All right? Anybody? Take a big guy. I'm going to get my new notebook. I got another notebook now.